CliffCentral.com.
All right. Here we are on the first day of December. In 2020. What a marvelous year, right? Isn't it the best, the greatest, right? All right. Well, now you're awake. Now you got to start your day. Now you got to think about all the things you got to do today.
Whether we like it or not.
Well, I mean, Tuesday is usually the day. Let me just turn this down. Tuesday is usually the day we all go into the office. So today we'll all be around there, and it's pretty much winding down. I mean, you know, I think next week, the 7th, is probably the last day all of us will be in the office. And then, you know, from there on, people are going to start going off in their various directions. Those who have holidays are going to go on holidays. And it all seems to be happening quite soon. I mean, it's just around the corner. So it's happening whether you like it or not. We have to pick up on something that Bulelo had quite a lot to say about this yesterday, but he wasn't on the show yesterday, so I thought, well, let's start with this. And it turns out there's a South African connection here too. If you are a Formula One fan, and I'm not, I don't watch Formula One at all. I've never watched a race, and it's not because I hate it or because I'm trying to be a pain in the ass about it or any of that stuff, or I think I'm, you know, too important for Formula One or whatever people think. It's just I don't watch it. It's like, you know, some people don't watch the ballet. Some people don't. Okay. Some people don't go wading with thigh-high boots in the river. There are various things that people do that they might think of as fun that I don't partake in, and that they might think I'm stupid for taking part in. Anyway, so the Formula One race I was talking about was, I'm on this WhatsApp group, and a bunch of my friends watch Formula One, and they sent these amazing videos and pictures of the guy, Grosjean, who got out of the car alive after it almost, I mean, it just was a fireball. The fact that this guy got out in even a piece, let alone that he got out alive and with minimum damage, is, I said, miraculous. And Bulelo said, no, bullshit, it's not miraculous. Formula One is pure science. It's cutting-edge technology at work. And this guy getting out of that car is not, he's not as surprised as I am at all. Is that right?
No. There are no miracles. There's nothing I despise more than people that, when something incredible happens, oh, it's a miracle. There are no miracles, people. There's no Messiah coming to save you. That is science doing its thing at its absolute best.
You despise people who use the word miracle?
Oh, for goodness sake. It's a miracle. There are no miracles. Stop living in... What are we doing? What is... It's not... what's it? Immaculate Conception times. Yeah, for goodness sake.
All right, well, let me...
It is that. It is when the great Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey gave us the hit banger. There can be
the miracles
when you believe.
All right, but let me put your mind at ease, okay? First of all, I'm not suddenly using the word miracle because I've been converted like Constantine at Damascus or whatever. Damascus. Why did I even say Damascus? But the fact is, it's a good word to use when something like that happens in Bulelo, and it doesn't attribute any magic to it. It's just saying, wow, that is spectacular. That is miraculous. That's incredible. What a thing to watch. So
there's been a lot of crashes where people survive. It takes away the credit from the incredible men and women that have done awesome work to create this, because hey, that happened 10 years ago. Grosjean, you're very dead.
So what's the South African connection? I heard one of the guys who pulled him out of the car is actually South African. It's like some kind of.
To be honest, Gareth, I'm with you on the first thing. Motorsport is one of the biggest snore fests on the planet. So I don't.
Yeah, but somebody said to me it's a South African dude who's involved there. So whoever he is, well done to him. I mean, whether he was South African or not, I see people claiming him, but he's obviously he's really talented and skilled at what he does.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, look, regardless, this is what is impressive about it. Have you ever used matches just to light like two different candles, the same match to light two different candles, the light one, and then you just try to make it to the second one, and already it's a little too close to your fingers, just that heat.
I've got a
imagine
mark.
That times.
I'm gonna mark here from, I think it's a pot or it's a pan or a pot or something like that. When I was heating something up. I mean, this is like a week ago, and I mean, I can't even get that right. So. Yes.
And then multiply that by 10,000 when it's a burning car to make it out.
I know.
Like, that's why it's impressive to me.
Thank you, Science, for the suit he's wearing as well. Those suits cost upwards of $100,000, by the way. The guys that they wear.
$100,000 for that suit.
Those are fire-tested. I mean, the technology. Cycling and Formula One, there is no greater sport, or maybe anywhere in the world, where technology is at its finest. Road cycling and Formula One, always at the cutting edge. So congratulations to the great scientist who saved that young man's life.
All right. Annika is with you, Bulelo. She says, statistically, it's impossible for miracles to happen. Richard Dawkins explains it beautifully, but I'm not awake enough yet to remember how it works.
he does. Richard Dawkins does explain it well. Blind Watchmaker, for those who, if you haven't read that book, great book.
That is good.
Dawkins.
Dogos was also just bringing up that there was a South African dude who was driving the emergency car as well, apparently. So he had something to do with it too. So it's excellent stuff. Excellent stuff.
Look, we clearly get our thrills from different things and places. Like this guy, he's already probably in another car, getting in. What is it called? Rehearsing? No. Practicing in sport.
No,
he's already practicing for his next race. He's not fazed by almost dying.
Yeah,
it's
of course
weird.
Not. Somebody unkindly said when this came up on the show yesterday that this guy apparently crashes all the time. So, I don't know enough about motorsport to be able to talk about that, but apparently he crashes all the time, this Grosjean guy.
And then not to sound like I'm really poo-pooing the whole entire sport, but what is the marvel in it? So I get when people watch a 100-meter dash because it's that human push and to see who the fastest is, or in rugby to see who the strongest is and can make it to the other side of the field. With F1, it's like, well, whoever can accelerate the fastest.
No, come on, Sia. No. I do think, listen.
I'm really not trying to make it so basic.
No,
but I get
where you're headed, but you're not right on this front, because it takes super skill to be able to drive like these guys do at the speeds that they do. And I do think that that's something you can obviously improve your skills on. So, you know, you're not going to be born fast in terms of, you know, like a runner would be with the genes to be fast, because humans have not yet developed any kind of genetic ability, an evolutionary ability to drive a car. But you can be trained well. And some people are more responsive to that training than others. And some people spend their lives, their whole lives. I mean, I think, isn't it one of Schumacher's children that is now going into racing as well?
His son's in the mix.
Yeah.
So
I say good for them. And
okay, so the skill is what
absolutely
you look at.
Okay. But I don't because I don't watch. But I've heard this. No. I'm just playing devil's advocate here because none of us seem to be, particular
acolytes.
No,
well, these guys are awesome athletes because, they lose between 4 and 6 kilograms a race. And you're looking at, see, I don't know if you've ever been in a supercar just on a normal racetrack as a passenger.
Let's think about it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know who your friends
are. What
are
the chances?
But if you've ever been in any sort of supercar doing between 180 and 250 Ks on a racetrack,
it
feels like murder. Mm. These guys are going through 2 Gs, right? The forces that go through their body for an hour and a half are, for most of us, we would pass out what they do. You'd pass out after 2 or 3 laps. They are incredible athletes. It's a snore fest, but what they put their bodies through, my God. Every race.
I remember there was a few years ago, we were meant to do some group activity, Gareth, driving at some track thing.
It was at Gerotech in Pretoria where they do all the testing.
I couldn't go because they're like, no, I think it was people who were under 21 or under 23. No, I think it was 23. Couldn't endure it, and I was surprised. I thought, "Oh, okay."
Well, they just don't they just don't trust your reflexes. And
Hey, it's something you should experience. My father is part of a racing club, or he has been his whole life at SWAT Corps, right? Mm. And you know, one of the makers, one of the big Italian car makers, have their whole club there. And we used to go when I was younger. It is sensational. It is an unbelievable feeling.
I've been around the track at Kyalami in a Ferrari. Ferrari Modena that belongs to Paolo it's Paolo Cavalieri. He's the founder of Hollard. And a really, really successful driver and collector, an avid collector of these cars. And he took me on a spin round the track there once. I've been in some other fast cars where someone else has been driving, and it is kind of scary when you're not at the controls because you can't say go slower. Something happens to you when you're driving at those speeds. Your field of vision narrows, so you end up only seeing what is directly in front of you. And that just again shows you how evolutionarily we're not actually built to take in speeds much faster than, you know, 2 digits in kilometers per hour, really. Mm-hmm. You get to 100. Most of us can drive at 100 and not feel particularly afraid. But when you get to 200, the fear kicks in, man. That's why when you think about a jumbo jet taking off on a runway, they're going sometimes it's 600 or 700 kilometers an hour and above. And those speeds just, it's too fast for people. I marvel at what we're able to do, let alone the speeds that are attained in the sky by certain vehicles. And then there are those people who use that pan, and I think they're trying to break their record still, the land speed record. There's that salt pan out in the Northern Cape where they've brought some fancy car. And I know that the British High Commission in this country is very involved in supporting them.
All right.
And these guys race these extremely fast land vehicles along the salt pan and do incredible things. JP is giving us some info here. He says that Schumacher's son's in Moto 2. And also that Grosjean is done with racing for the year because his hands are burnt. So they did get burnt in that in that accident. F1 is super competitive on every level, says Dogozo. It's competitive from the type of engine that you have to your car to the types of speeds the drivers can handle, and then fighting to be the guy that makes your team every race. It's actually pretty cool. Yeah. No, look, I'm going to take nothing away. It's just not really, it's not for me.
Mm. Likewise.
Apparently, they overtake each other now, not in the pits anymore. It's pure racing skill, athleticism. Just look at MotoGP Supermen. They're aliens. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you really have to turn off some fear in your normal brain composition. You have to turn off that fear center and go, fuck that, I'm going faster. And listen, I'm not afraid to drive fast, but not on a track and not in those vehicles.
No, they are.
All right. So much to get into this morning. I just wanted to give Mbulelo a chance to say his say about that. And clearly there are lots of other people who have lots to say about MotoGP and F1 and all the rest of it. So, okay, let's get into the rest of the year because Mbulelo is still busy. He's working every single week to bring you great content on Cliff Central Sport. In fact, he's going to be on the TV show soon. So for those people who don't watch us live in the morning because they've got things to do or it's not their thing or they don't care about looking at us or they've realized, as we have a long time ago, that it's better to hear us than to see us, I have bad news for you. Mbulelo and I will be making our way to your TV together on the same show with Ben Karpinski and Sivan Gyasi. That's in about 2 weeks from now, so you better be ready for that.
Yes.
Stick around for that. And Sia and I recorded our second last TV show yesterday, but there are a whole lot of fresh episodes coming up on So What Now. That's on ENCA starting from this Wednesday. We've got a semi-live show, as in one that we recorded this week, which was lots of fun. And we've got some pretty cool shows coming up. In fact, there's one with Nina Hasty and Joey Razdeen and Eugene Koza, which I'm very excited to have you see. It's hilariously funny and just exactly the kind of stuff you need to wrap up the year. So that's coming.
Nina Hasty. Oh, my God. She is.
Yeah, she's something else.
One of the greatest around. Wow.
She's a,
I'm laughing right now because I don't know if I'm coming or going. I don't know where we are, what day it is, yeah, where.
You know, Sia, you've really, I mean, talk about a year of personal development. Poor old Sia thought he'd be having a year that was a little more calm, you know, with COVID and everything. Well, what's happened is Sia's ended up working harder this year than he's ever worked. And you've discovered talents in places you didn't know you had talents for. Producing shows and talking to famous and interesting people all over the world, and really, I mean, well done to you. It's been hard work.
Look,
very
it's,
hard
it's
work.
I just don't know right now. My mind is in like mid-Jan 2021, and it's
that's crazy
trying to make sense of it all. But it's been cool, right, to think about we're pushing on 30 episodes of this TV show. That's more than half a year now.
Jeez, it feels like just yesterday we started doing this show. So, you know, congrats to everybody on that front for being able to pull it off and put together every week to put together a fresh TV show for an hour. It sounds easy, but there's so much going on behind the scenes. It's like duck. If you watch a duck on a body of water, the duck. It's just gliding along effortlessly, but under that water, those legs are swimming, man.
You know, it might not be, it might not make sense or be of interest to many people, but I now think of a show like, you know, the opening ceremony at the Olympics or the World Cup opening ceremony, you know, where there are hundreds of dancers and cars driving in, and then there's pyrotechnics, and then there are lights. That, to me, I look at that now and I go, I don't know what those people are on to be able to do something like that.
No.
I'm just trying to have four people on set.
I know.
And four microphones, four earpieces, and you talk.
So hard.
Now there has to be a clown car, and then we're going to drop someone from the stage. No, can't do that.
Well, There's quite a lot of stuff that I'm interested in hearing from you on this morning, because we were watching, in between doing a TV show yesterday, I was watching Praveen Gordon at the Zonda Commission, and Dalimpofu was just tearing him to pieces. Now, you know that while Dalimpofu is a friend of mine and someone who I've relied upon to fight at least one court battle for me before, and he was masterful at it, and I have nothing but praise for the man. And you know, our politics are very different, but I try to be objective when I watch him doing these things. But I kind of got a thrill out of him giving the gears to that communist bastard Praveen Gordon, because people seem to think that Praveen is the good guy in all these situations merely because Praveen was efficient. And actually, there's nothing worse than an efficient bureaucrat. Because then they know how to use the rules to help themselves. I'm not saying corruption, but they use the rules to get themselves ahead, right? They get to ever higher offices. And Praveen has been Minister of Public Enterprises. He's been Minister of Finance. What is he Minister of at the moment? He might be Public Enterprises again. I'm not even sure. But
let's see.
He's been in government throughout the Zuma eras, and. There's nothing, and remember before that he was SARS commissioner. And part of the reason people love Praveen, I don't know who these people are, but I can only imagine it's because he's efficient. But Dali doesn't care about that. So when Dalimpofu sees a chance to strike at Praveen Gordon, he says he had a god complex as a minister, and I laughed. And he was saying, how can you hate Tom Moyani? The SARS commissioner who really, I mean, he ruined SARS. You know, Dali, I love you, but you're defending a guy who's indefensible here. But Dali was saying to him, you can't tell me you don't have any hostility towards Tom Moyani when you knew him, and you say in the same breath that you didn't know him very well. In order to hate someone, you have to kind of know them a little bit, which I thought was a good point.
Oh, Twitter says that's not true. You can hate someone
That's
because they don't
exactly
wear a T-shirt that represents your people.
Exactly. That's what Twitter does teach us. You were going to say, Sia?
Pravin Gordhan is public enterprises minister currently.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was seeing a lot of people complain that Advocate Mbofu was arrogant for the way he was conducting himself yesterday. He had like fake outrage in trying to get Pravin into a corner. And I thought, well, that's just his... If you know him and you see how he operates, that's his tactic. He wants to get you into a corner. He likes to have a bit of an outburst so to almost prove his point.
This is what all good advocates do this.
Yeah. It's the showmanship of it all. And then he wants to get you to a point where you have to give a definitive yes or a no. And those are the parts where I saw where Pravin was like, well,
Because Pravin is a politician.
I'm going to try my best to answer, but...
No, Pravin's a politician, so he's not used to giving honest answers to anything, because he's trying to give answers.
He's a slimeball. He's such a slimeball.
That's it. You see, Mbulelo, you're speaking the truth here. And first of all, we can get back to this in a second, but can we stop calling people arrogant in South Africa the moment that they're better at something than we are?
Yes.
Such a pain in the ass every time anyone uses that word arrogant. Never, ever in my entire experience of speaking to people of substance and worth have I ever heard one of those people of substance and worth use the word arrogant. Arrogant is a word that is always used by underachieving losers. Always. I hate that, Sia. When you reminded me now, like, here's Darlene Porfin. By the way, advocates do this for a living. They argue with people, and they make sure their argument's better than yours, and they do push you to a point where you explode. One of my friends who's a really, really good advocate, he's moved subsequently to Canada, but when he was here in South Africa, there was a story, and another of my friends actually witnessed this, so I know it's true, of this friend of mine in court haranguing driving an emotional response from a witness to the point where she threw her umbrella at him, okay, in the court.
Oh.
And he was crystal clear. He ducked to the side. The umbrella went flying past him. And then he, calm as a cucumber, says to the judge, "My lord, I would like the court to take note of the fact that the witness threw her umbrella at me." And everyone starts laughing in the court, and he goes, "And that she missed." And
then you got him.
Now that's just great.
Then you got him.
I think that being an advocate is a real skill. People go, "Oh, Darlene Porfu's arrogant." You get in a courtroom and you try to argue as well as any good advocate in South Africa. And look, there are good advocates, there are bad advocates, there are great advocates. I was watching a biography on Sir Sidney Kentridge, who's a South African advocate who became a barrister in England and has gone on to have this distinguished career. He's now 99 years old. He's also the father of our most famous living artist, William Kentridge. And this guy was, during the apartheid years, I mean, he represented Albert Luthuli, he represented Nelson Mandela, and Desmond Tutu, three Nobel laureates.
Oh, so no big clients then?
No big clients. He's just a very average guy.
Now,
I'm sure that during his tenure as a practicing advocate or barrister, they're the same thing. It's just a different word that the English use for the same job. This man must have made some arguments at the bar that other people say, "Oh, that Sidney Kentridge is so arrogant." But no one's going to remember their names, those people who called him arrogant. Even if he wasn't, and I have no reason to believe that he was. But the minute someone's good at something, South Africans can't wait to call them arrogant. It's just comes from such an insecurity complex mixed with Calvinism.
It's a great point. Go ahead, Sia.
I think for us, we also have we aren't a bang on your own chest type of culture. You know, we're taught to cower down. We're taught,
humility,
be humble.
Humility.
You're one of us. We're all together. We're all just trying to make it. So to be proud of yourself, to be proud of your accomplishments, isn't really a South African thing. I remember meeting a now subsequent friend, but for the first time, and he's in the US, and he was here and walked up to me and said, what's your name? And I'm like, hi, I'm C. He goes, what do you do? What are you all about? I'm like, I short-circuited. Because I'm like, wait, no, I'm not used to that. And now, no. Like, he wants me to give 3 seconds of what I'm about and what I do. And, you know, I went on and on and on to talk about other people and to talk about Cliff Central and the company. And with all due respect, he was like, no, you, what do you do?
Yeah,
like,
oh, he wanted the executive brief on what you were. But
yeah,
why do you think South Africans are like that? Mbulelo, C has gone some way into saying what his theory is about humility, and I agree with it completely so far.
So, I mean, the one thing is, we know, I hate to always go back to this, but our country is largely based on our Lord and Savior, and that breeds a certain type of mentality en masse. But also, we've never really won. South Africa's never really won at, at civilization. We have. Like, we come from a horrendous past, and we've just spent the last 25 years losing. So, mediocrity,
yeah.
Right, is often what mediocrity will try and do is, people want you to do well, not better than them, especially out of mediocrity,
Excellent, excellent point.
And we never, South Africa never, we haven't started trying at anything yet. You know, on when we go, when we're serious, until you go to Sweden, until you go to America, and I don't mean middle America, most of America, but when you go to coastal America and you go, oh my God, this is what happens when people try. There's no self-efficacy in this country. I think we're still learning to crawl en masse as a society. You know, we have our little pockets, but en masse, we have no self-efficacy at all in this country.
And I
think it's tied to a religious belief once, because we know what, piety and what that leads to as a mentality. Be quiet. Children are meant to be seen and not heard. Cower down, as though that has anything.
I'm going to say that you've already hinted at the religious aspect of this and how Jesus prized humility. But remember, you have to be good at something to be humble as well. Otherwise, your humility is worthless. If you've achieved things in your life, if you can work miracles as Jesus is purported to have done, then being humble is an amazing thing. If you are humble about bugger all, that's not an asset. That's not a personality attribute. That's not something that people should praise you for. If you've done zero, if you have been, let's say you just you've grown up with lots of money and you have no personality, you have no talents, no skills, and you have no work ethic, and then you're also a humble person, but you've just inherited money. That's not an achievement. If you're a humble person because you're not good at anything, you should be humble. Doesn't make you good that you're also humble and bad at everything. You should be. What are your options? I mean, what are you going to be arrogant about being bugger all? You know. And I do think there's a difference, by the way, between arrogance and confidence. I've discussed this many times. I mean, the guy who wins the race is confident. The guy who comes second is arrogant because he thought he would win the race. And all of that stuff, I mean, I've gone over a million times. But it's combined with two things that I think are not particularly helpful in respect of people assessing their own value to society, to the marketplace, to each other. The first one is Calvinism, which makes a big deal out of this humility of the Lord thing and how life is suffering, and that you should be remembering all the time how worthless you are in the face of God, which that's got a lot of problems attached to it. And remember, Calvinism is the root of most of the Afrikaans Christianity that you get in South Africa. And the other one is Ubuntu, which is always praised as being this amazing and terrific way for us to get along and work together and have, a sense of community. But it also carries with it the dark side of the coin, which is that I am nothing if you are nothing. And if you are nothing, then I am nothing. And I would rather sometimes be nothing, because if I had to achieve something, it means it puts pressure on you. It's not always good. And people praise Ubuntu to the hills, but really it's just a much more gentle African communal form of some pretty awful Marxist ideas in some way, shape, and form. And I don't think that that's any good anyway. You know, the only way society moves forward is by exceptionalism. It's by those extraordinary mm-hmm. people who mm-hmm. drive it forward. And most of those people don't fit in with the average man. And the average man is always threatened by them because he is reminded of how average he is by those exceptional people. Like Newton and Einstein mm-hmm. and, and Shaka Zulu, and you go through Blind History and listen to all those episodes. Not one of those people who, if they were around today, that Karen wouldn't have been calling average or, you know, so arrogant. Telling you.
Mediocrity is a cancer. I will die believing that. If you are mired in mediocrity wherever you are in your personal life and South Africa largely, I mean, if we call ourselves mediocre by world standards to what we should be looking towards, we're not even mediocre. We are sad. But mediocrity in your personal life, if you have it, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a politician. I don't need anyone's vote. Mediocrity is a cancer. Get it out of your life yesterday.
I mean, Nikita makes such a good point here because she says in Oz, they have a saying, the tall poppy syndrome. Basically, it's frowned upon to think highly of yourself. People of high status are criticized and cut down. They're also taxed very highly. Modesty is celebrated extremely highly by Australians. And that's why the whole of Australia is so mediocre. And no, when last was something truly amazing in your imagination active? When was something imaginative and innovative last developed in Australia? And, you know, it happens in places where people are tested by fire and brimstone or where the market rewards them. And that doesn't happen there anymore. So they're very good at maintaining civilization, but they're not good at pushing it forward. And I know this is very offensive to some Australians, and I know we've got Australian listeners. I don't mean to, I'm not saying this is true for every single person, but it is a general rule that can be observed in most comfortable democracies around the world. Most of them, I mean, you know, Scandinavia is not forging forward anymore. They're kind of, they're leaning back a little. The few places where these things are happening, it's happening, the innovation is happening in small pockets of places where you still have to strive in order to make your life better.
Steve, before you go, I just want to say something. You know, I still maintain, Gareth, South Africa, globalization couldn't have happened to South Africa at a worse time because we now truly live in a time of, you know, tremendous complexity. And in these times, you need self-efficacy to win. And we're hitting the market at a time where being beta and soft power are these celebrated things. Any form of alpha, because you got to be alpha to win. Winners win, losers lose. That's just life. And right now is any form of alpha, get it out the way. Yeah. And right now,
people
you
don't
need,
like it.
Look who wins. China, America. Why? Because they bully and they don't apologize.
And Nigeria, right? and frankly.
Yeah, of course. So, and they've got great self-efficacy.
Sia, do you want to make your point? Because I've got a suggestion here. This is from Annika. She says, you've got to watch Casper De Vries. He does a brilliant sketch where he talks about the Afrikaners and their humility, and it's made me think maybe we should try and get him on one morning to join us before Christmas because, cool. You know, it's December and he's part of the family, really, the extended family. I saw a very funny, a horrible but a very funny Afrikaans music video where he plays like the bartender the other day. So he's doing work at the moment, so we must maybe catch up with Casper. Well, do you want to finish the point and then we get on to headlines?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know about you guys, but I find it rather off-putting when, as well, you talk to someone who's done incredible things, and you sense fragility there, and they just humble for the sake of. You go, no, you're awesome. You've done great things. Oh, no, well, you know, yeah, I'm trying. Oh, please, you know?
No,
I think we need to cut it.
I think there's always something praiseworthy about someone who is humble after achieving things. It is where those people are humble and they've done nothing that the humility is worthless.
I just want to take you into a world maybe some people don't understand. So naturally, a lot of South African society is black, right? And when you're part of the middle class, obviously I'm first generation middle class in my family. I don't know how other people live. But there's also, you know, it's very hard for a lot of black people who have never known the middle class thing, and especially in my family, because I come from two poor families, is once you express any form of multiplicity, so that's the ability to be Xhosa, be Pedi, but also be able to interact with the white folks, you know, that is also seen, that there is a mark of shame to that for many
people. And scorn. I mean, there's some people who hold that against you. And I mean, I'm always horrified by the kind of, and I see this sometimes, you know, white people also, it's basically a kind of jealousy, but I see this with friends of mine, and they, you know, you go to a good school, or you learn about maths and science and language, or you perhaps speak a language that's outside of South Africa, and your original community, the people that you come from, sure, there's nothing mm-hmm. they don't necessarily praise you for that. They sometimes resent you for it.
People mm-hmm. want you to do well, not too well. That's one thing life has taught me.
All right. Well, we can unpack this a little later on, but we've got to get to some news headlines. First of all, Pravin Gordhan, who we've already been speaking about, admits that he has no proof Tom Moyane conspired with the Hawks and the NPA. That's a big admission, because this has been his whole talking point. He says he has no first-hand proof that former South African Revenue Services boss Tom Moyane worked or conspired with the Hawks or the NPA, even though he said this in a recorded telephone discussion. Moyane's lawyer, Advocate Dalimpofu, presented a transcript of a conversation that the State Capture Commission that he said proved Gordhan was arrogant and racist. Yes, he went there. Gordhan conceded his belief that Moyane advanced state capture and that was based on people who witnessed the meetings that Moyane attended. But Mpofu said, the question is whether you have evidence to back up the statement you made that Mr. Moyane was conspiring with the Hawks and the NPA every other day. Obviously not. It was a manner of speaking, Gordhan said in response. So the guy's whole argument's falling apart, and frankly, it's good to see him being put to the fire for a change, because Pravin's one of those people who's escaped that because of his position in the ANC, and because he's been given cover fire by people who like efficiency. You know, the technocratic part of our government. There is no decision on whether the NPA will appeal the Kalini judgment. You know what's happened there, of course. Those two men who were found guilty of murdering the 16-year-old in Kalini in the northwest, remember, they called it a racist killing. These two men are obviously in the process of, at the moment, being evaluated. I suppose the National Prosecuting Authority has to decide whether or not it will be appealing the Supreme Court of Appeal judgment that acquitted these two men. So they can always appeal that and go to a higher court. But at this stage, they are studying the judgment to establish why the SCA disagreed with the judgment of the Northwest High Court, which found them guilty of throwing this guy off of a moving bucky. Of course, it's going to be very hard to prove this, because I don't think there were other witnesses. So there are these two, there's a body, and there's a basis of evidence. Now, if this was a civil claim, you have to prove things on a balance of probability, which means 50-50. All you have to do is convince everyone that, you know, there's a 50% chance that they did this. But in a criminal case, you have to prove a balance of probabilities. Sorry, not a balance of probabilities. Beyond a reasonable doubt. Beyond a reasonable doubt means there has to be no reasonable doubt. So it's hard to prove. And the SCA is actually the highest court in the land, with the exception of the Constitutional Court, which is meant only to deal with constitutional matters. But the SCA, those are not stupid judges. They're going to have a tough time getting an appeal past that court. So let's see what happens. And, of course, this is a hugely emotional situation, because it's two white farmers and it's a black person who's dead. And, you know, was this guy thrown off the bucky? And you can only imagine how that's going to be exploited by both the racist right wing and the racist left wing in terms of making some hay out of it. And the first body has been pulled from a Zimbabwean gold mine where there was a disaster. That's right. On Monday, rescuers retrieved one body from a disused Zimbabwean gold mine where dozens of informal miners were feared trapped inside since a shaft collapsed last week. And we also have these guys, the Zamazamas in South Africa, who go into disused gold mines and they try to pull out stuff that the miners, the professional miners, the mining companies might have missed. And they do. They find a little bit, but it is very dangerous work. And they've recovered one body from that collapsed mine shaft in Zimbabwe. And obviously,
I heard it was about 50 people trapped in there.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's so dangerous. And it's also a sign that, you know, these people are desperate. They're desperate to climb in there. Is just, you can imagine. North Korea's Kim Jong-un may have already received an unapproved coronavirus vaccine. You know, they don't follow any rules in North Korea. North Korea is best Korea. Kim Jong-un apparently received a COVID-19 vaccination from the Chinese government, according to a Japanese intelligence source who discussed the matter with Washington. Several other high-ranking officers within the Kim family and the leadership network were believed to have received a vaccine from China sometime in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Kim's health has often been the subject of rumors during his 9-year rule. His brief absence from public view earlier this year prompted speculation that he had received heart surgery or contracted COVID. The 36-year-old dictator is a frequent smoker and he is obese, according to South Korean lawmakers, fueling speculation that he would experience medical complications if he were to contract COVID-19.
He is 36?
Yeah, no, he looks much older. Yeah.
What a life. What a guy.
That is a hard 36.
It's a hard 36, but, you know, this is what happens when you're the little prince in your country. No one's ever said no to him. I want more cake. Boom. I'm going to get more cake.
Have we ever discussed how small his hands are?
Tiny. You think Donald Trump has small hands? Look at this dude.
Sorry, it's just struck me now as I'm looking at him. Firstly, that does not look like a 36, and those are tiny hands.
Yeah,
it's not easy being a dictator. It's not for everyone.
And you have to be ruthless.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. Plus, could you imagine trying to live his life knowing that your sister is probably plotting your demise every single day? Your days are numbered. The Grim Reaper is coming to collect very soon. Grim Reaper happens to live downstairs.
Oof, that's correct.
Tough stuff.
Overall sales for Black Friday were down 5% in South Africa. And although people saw an increase in e-commerce year on year, the whole of Black Friday is down by about 5% in South Africa. Not surprising, but in the US, Cyber Monday has been a huge success. Online deals for gadgets, games, wine, and clothes put Cyber Monday sales on track for record levels in the US, according to an industry tracker. They expected Cyber Monday to remain the king of online shopping days, racking up sales between $10.8 and $12.7 billion. It's predicted that at least 13 million per minute would be spent during peak online shopping on Monday night. So that's just extraordinary and a good sign for America's economy that people are spending ahead of Christmas.
Speaking of that, I just want to tell you something. A true miracle happened to me.
Oh, a miracle, huh? You're using that language.
What can only be described as a miracle happened to me this week. A friend of mine who lives in a tax haven where all the cronies hide their money, but let's put that aside. But he showed me a thing him and his team are working on. It's a virtual shopping experience. So imagine a world where I can go walk through the aisles virtually, purchase what I want, and have someone go and do that for me. And yesterday I went to the shops and I thought, oh my God, that's what I need. Isn't shopping the worst experience on the planet? And I went yesterday, it was month end, oh my goodness.
Yeah, no. Listen, I'm so glad I avoided the shops on Friday. I actually needed to go and get things, but I stayed the hell away. So glad I did. You have to be so brave to go near there on Black Friday. It's insane. And I know we sound like you know, these very superior, spoiled people who think we're too good to shop on Black Friday with the rest of the people. But honest to God, I said it on Friday morning. I'll say it again. My time to me, not to anyone else. I'm not saying you have to pay for my time. My time to me is not worth standing in a queue for any discount. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I work. One of the reasons I work as hard as I do is because I don't want to have to stand in those queues.
Yeah, and soon you don't even ever have to queue again. I hate queues, and I've told you South Africans don't know how to queue. If I can touch you with my arm, you're too close. Get away from me.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Absolutely.
All right, Bulelo, you've got a few things on your mind. You say it's too early for Christmas advertising and the Christmas music.
Gareth, how are we playing Christmas music? I'm already like not a fan, but I don't want to be a Grinch. I know it's been a hard year for people. Yeah. So a friend of mine said, I need to stop being such a Grinch. It's been a hard year for people. She talked me off the ledge. Okay. So this is my first day of trying to be a good person. So, okay, enjoy Christmas. But come on. It's what are we doing? There was Christmas music yesterday at Woolworths. I'm like, come on, guys.
Come on.
Some of us aren't pagans. Come on. No, not this early. Give us a chance. You can maybe, 15th, you can start with your malarkey.
Well, truly. One of the things that we're doing for Christmas, or at least for the beginning of December this year, which I think may help your business. If you are a small business owner, I'd certainly love it if it does help you. And it's the best idea we could come up with for small and medium enterprises that have had a very tough year. You know, sometimes it's very difficult to tell your story to people, to introduce your product to people, to tell them what service it is that you deliver. And we'd like to help you along with Ozo. They're the guys who run that brilliant online payments platform. And if you haven't tried them out, OZOW, just look them up. They're advertising on social media all the time. That's the first place I saw them. We've had Thomas Pays on before. Thomas, who has the French accent, you have heard him before. He's fantastic. He's been on the show a couple of times. Now, Ozo are also interested in making your business their business. In other words, they want you to do well because they have an interest in our economy doing well, as do all businesses, big and small. And Ozo are going to make it possible on cliffcentral.com to get your business back in the game, even if you've had the most difficult year and you were this close to giving up. And most of us were, right? At some point, everyone who runs even the tiniest little business in South Africa looked at the scenario and thought, oof, it's going to be very, very hard for us to rebuild after this year with lockdowns and the economy tanking and everything being more expensive and, you know, the huge pressures of not being able to open your businesses, depending on where you were. So lots of us are thinking about this stuff. And if you're thinking about this stuff, you're not alone. Ozo and CliffCentral.com want to help you. So here's how it works. It is your business. Ozo knows it's their business too. Stand a chance to be one of only six places. There are only six companies that we're going to be able to do this with. And it's going to be 10 minutes on our show. In other words, there'll be six different episodes of this on podcast, but it'll be 10 minutes of our live show every morning to introduce yourself to an audience that you probably wouldn't reach anywhere else. I know that the people who listen to this show aren't available on, you know, radio. They don't watch scheduled television. We've got a very smart audience who value their time, and they probably even have ad blockers on social media. So if you're spending there, they might not see you. And if your business needs to reach an audience of people who are really smart, they're tech savvy, they know what's going on in the world, they're very particular about what kind of content they consume, well, you've come to the right place. So your business can be exposed to these people, but you need to send us an email or you need to get us on social media. Use the hashtag somebody's business. And we're basically giving you free advertising. But tell us your story, because the more compelling your story is, the more likely it is that we are going to tell that story for you and let you have the opportunity to tell it yourself. So get on the Gareth Cliff Show, free, courtesy of Ozo. Tell us why your business deserves to be highlighted and use the hashtag somebody's business. You can motivate why, and you can give us a whole lot of information. The more the better, I suppose. You can post on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn, as long as you use hashtag somebody's business. And you can also email contact@cliffcentral.com. We will notify you if you're a finalist directly with more info. There are obviously only six positions available for companies to do this, big or small. You don't have to be a tremendous success. You don't have to be have the saddest or hardest luck story, but we want to hear real stories. And if you want to do this, please get hold of us. You've got only another day or two to do this. So enter ASAP and use the hashtag somebody's business, please. Or contact@cliffcentral.com, and then we can get you on. That would be terrific. We really do want to help businesses. And congrats to Ozo for getting on board with this, because they're going to make it possible for you to be a part of this. We're also going to check in with JJ Cornish this morning. We may only get to him after 7, though, because we've only got 5 minutes left of this hour. And I want to talk to him because every couple of days we get into Africanalysis. It's our chance to find out what's going on in the continent, and there is a lot happening in Ethiopia at the moment, which is worth discussing. I've heard people comparing it to Africa's version of what was going on in the Balkans, and we'll find out how true that is. Yeah, it's quite a big deal.
Jeez.
All right.
Some statement.
Yeah, so lots of those things to talk about with him. Nigeria is another thing that we've got to discuss. And later on, we'll be talking to Christian Wendler, who is a behavioral interventions program manager at Shot It Now. Why? Because today is World AIDS Day, and it falls right within the 16 days of activism. So whether you buy into those days or those weeks or those events that people put on the calendar, it does give you a chance once a year to check in on the important stuff. I mean, we used to do an HIV test every World AIDS Day just because you, first of all, it reminds you to do it every year. But we'll find out about the statistics around AIDS. You know, AIDS has kind of fallen off the radar for some people because COVID was such a big thing this year. So everything's about COVID, COVID, COVID. And so no one's talking about AIDS. So we must get that back on the agenda. And we will do that. That's all coming up in the next couple of minutes. On cliffcentral.com, and also this morning, because it's a Tuesday, we're going to get a new episode of Blind History a bit later, which is Season 4, Episode 10. And that's about pirates.
And like Orlando, like from Orlando, those pirates.
Not those pirates, the actual seafaring buccaneers, the ones who...
The sea robbers.
Sea robbers, that's the one. We take you on a roller coaster ride featuring some of the terrifying men and women who ruled the seas, the most famous pirates in history, one-legged, one-eyed, parrot-on-the-shoulder caricatures, and complex and flawed people who had really interesting lives. So find out as we all board the ship together on another episode of Blind History today. So coming up just after 7.
I see what you did there.
I know. So coming up just after 7, JJ Cornish will find out all about the African analysis and Christian Wendler from Shout It Now. So plenty of good stuff to talk about. That's all on the way. This is cliffcentral.com, and we have all your messages coming in too. You can get hold of us on 0797482090. If you would like to use the software that we use to see each other in the morning and which you can watch as well, you just drop us a message there too. It's always good to hear from you. Let us know what's on your mind today.
Despite everything you may get into with JJ about Ethiopia, and I know it's been killing everybody, but I did get my single origin coffee from Ethiopia. So I don't want, I know it's been keeping people up. Not to worry. I've got 1 kilogram of the best coffee in the world.
Okay.
So, sleep easy. Rest easy. You can go gently into the night.
Oh, good.
Now,
oh, thank goodness for that. Oh, we were so worried about you. We were so worried about you and your coffee.
People have always said the second coming. You know, I don't know what people are still waiting for. Don't worry, I'm here, folks.
All right. Excellent stuff. Thank you, Mbulelo, for filling us in. Now you've put our minds at ease. CliffCentral.com.